Let me just tell you a little bit. Is that we okay? Let me just tell you a little bit about myself, so that we sort of connect. You know, my wife and I. That's Chris. It's my lovely wife. We've been married 37 years, and they said it wouldn't last. And we have two children. Well, we got three children. Two natural birth children. We also have a foster daughter. That's a story in itself. She's away at school at the moment. And we also have three grandchildren. So they are fantastic, I have to say. Someone said, if I knew it was this good, I would have had them first. They are absolutely a delight. I am currently working in my own business. I work as a sales and marketing. I go into small businesses and help them do work, get work for them. Before that, I worked as a church pastor, so it's been a varied... And also before that, you may have heard of them, I used to work in the Inland Revenue. It's one of those things that I don't mention too often. Everything goes quiet. It's not a good opening conversation with people to say I was in the Inland Revenue. Actually, it's interesting. Our son, we've named him Matthew, because as you know, he was a tax collector. He was born, actually, on the 9th of April. Now, in those days, you used to be able to claim child allowance. And I thought we just geared it just right. Coming to the end of the tax year, 5th of April, I would have got the full tax allowance just 4 days. Well, he was late, so he was born on the 9th of April. He's now paying us back at £1 a week, because we would have got about £100, I think, for that. So, and today's money, that's a lot of money, actually, folks. So, okay, I want to share with you today, I want to leave with you two scriptures. That's all, two scriptures. And I trust it will be an encouragement to you. I find these scriptures an encouragement. So I'm just sharing, really, if you like, I'm just sharing out of something that I'm enjoying myself. Okay, so if you get something out of it, that's great, but I'll enjoy myself, because it's good. I'm just finding it's good stuff. Okay, the title if you want to put a title, is Who on Earth Are You? Or better still, Who on Earth Are You? That's where the emphasis is. Okay. Who on earth are you? Because how we see ourselves is so important. The perspective we have of ourselves governs how we live and how we interact with people. Okay, how you see yourself is so important. And as we know, there's so much angst about image and the pressure on young people for how they look and, of course, size. I just saw an interesting bumper sticker, a sticker in the window of a little Vauxhall Corsa driven by this girl, and it said, in this little car, it said, "Does my bum look big in this?" And I thought, that's cool. I just thought that was really, made me smile anyway. So who on earth are you? And the first scripture I'm going to share with you comes from Ephesians. And it's one of the most clear, Ephesians is one of the most clear and detailed accounts of what individual Christians and the church are called to be. All right. Now, I think if we have that, can we just have that scripture up? It's the verse that we're going to be looking at is Ephesians 2, verse 10. Okay, just to show you that we're biblical, it's actually in here. It's Ephesians 2. I've got my Bible with me, even though I've got the notes. So, I'd like, if you could just let this verse just wash over you. Allow it to penetrate not just your mind, but your heart. And it says here, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." If you know Ephesians very well, it's part of that passage where Paul talks about, by grace you've been saved. You know that one? It's usually a familiar passage. Most Christians have read that. But I just wanted to draw out that. So that's the context of that verse. It's about not by our own works, not by our own doing, but by God's grace. And it says we are his workmanship. But I like the Living Bible translation, which says, we are God's masterpiece. Okay? Now, if you want, you can go with workmanship if you're a bit more mechanically, electronically minded. But me, I come from the art background, arty background. So masterpiece for me is a better image. Okay? I like that. We are his masterpiece, and he's created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the things, good things, God planned for us long ago. And that comes from the Living Bible. Could we have that verse up? There we are. Look. So, just allow that verse just to wash over. You are God's masterpiece. Anyone know anything? Anyone here sort of into art? You know, you've done art studies or anything like that? No? Okay, we're going to have a little bit of a competition, okay? Anyone heard of... Well, can we just have the second slide up? Jackson Pollock. This is number 5, 1948, by Jackson Pollock. Okay? It's a little bit similar to something... One of the lads did earlier. Isn't it? Not too different. Okay. Anybody know? We've got some prizes here. Hey, now everybody sits up now, don't we? Everybody likes prizes. Okay, so the nearest one who can guess, that was sold in 2006. Any guesses on Jackson Pollock, 1948. I mean, he's a sort of 60s artist. I mean, we don't go there. So, call it a guess. The only, you know, the worst thing can happen is you're wrong. Nothing's going to happen. You can still come next week. You can still come to the cell. Okay? Sorry? 1.5 million. Pounds or dollars? Good. Okay? 1.5. Any higher bids on 1.5? 15? $15 million. Okay? Any higher bids? The nearest one will get a choice of a chocolate bar. Hey, whoa, come on. This is getting exciting. Anyone else? Anyone else want to throw another? $23 million. Okay. $23 million. Okay. And you said 50, half a million. Okay. Can we just have the next slide up? Do you know how much that one went for? 149 million, $0.6 million. Okay? Cool. Whoever did this, need a... Okay, I'm having this one. There's a couple more there. Okay? I mean, that's incredible, isn't it? So, I think you were... You were miles off, okay? Would you like a flake or a... galaxy? There we go. If you just munch quietly, I'd appreciate that. Okay, we'll have another one up now, just to see how well you get. Now we're really getting into it now. Okay, can we have the next slide up? Just famous one, yes. We all know that. Some of us in the past have had replicas on our wall. That's sad, isn't it? Okay. Pardon? Yeah. Yes, that is affordable. Yeah. Okay. Anyone? Come on, let's have it. We're getting into the flow now. Anybody want to? How's it, I guess? Oh, no, I'm not giving any clues around. I've got a bid over here for 10 million. Okay, any higher bid on 10 million? Go on, have a go. It's, you know, it's... Sorry? 50. Okay, one last go. It was... Well, value is not value, is it? It's whatever people pay for it, you know. We got one here you could buy if you want to. This one was the last time it was sold is in 1987. Okay, so that might be a little bit of a clue in terms of value. So what are we going to say? Come on, don't think about it too much. This is not. Sorry, 33. So what did you? You said 50. Okay, can we just have it? So it went for 75.6 million. in 1987. Hey? Okay? You have won a star prize. It's a little bit of a joke, but I wanted to just say, you know, value. What would you put value on? I remember hearing a story a few years ago. It was in this foyer of this office block in New York. It's an old office block. There was a sculpture. It was on a plinth, and it used to be the focal point for people to gather around, as they do. You know, you have your cup of coffee there. Lunchtime, you may sit around the plinth and have your lunch, you know, chatting. Well, one day someone came in to visit the offices, and she was an art historian. She had a look at this, and obviously went down, and she went and researched this, because something in the back of her mind said, this is interesting. And she did a bit of research, and it turned out that this sculpture was one of the lost sculptures of Leonardo da Vinci. Okay? So she rang up the obviously the people who owned the building that this, you know, it was worth you know, the value was very great because it's obviously by Leonardo da Vinci. Well, from that day everything changed. They brought in a security grill that went right round this thing. They had guards on the in the building 24/7. So anyway, you could get nowhere near it for a cup of coffee or sit around with your friends any longer. They realized the value. And we as Christians need to just realize the fact that we are God's masterpiece. I want to show you a painting, not something I did, but you can go, ooh, if you want to. Ooh, isn't that nice? Well, I bought this. Well, I bought the picture for £8. Well, actually, it was 11, but it was a car boot sale, and I bought it for £8. And my wife very graciously recently just framed it for me. And I just love it. I just love the colors. Now, this one is a print, okay? It's only a print, but there are only 200 of these prints around. Plus, on the bottom, as you see, ladies and gentlemen, there's a little drawing here of the boats. And that's 9 of 20. So there's only 20 other prints around, like this one, normal service will be resumed as soon as possible. Donnie, could you hold my painting? Before I drop it. Yes. Well, you can see it. It's not for sale, so I'm not giving it away as a prize. And I got a bargain for £8, but it's still, there's 200 of these around. 20 of those around. Why does that matter? Because I think that's quite significant for us and for you as a church. Right now, you know, you're one of 20. Few years' time, you could well be up to 50, 60, maybe more, praise God. Let it be so, in Jesus' name. And how you see yourselves will be how important it is in terms of how you conduct yourselves when you're a bigger church. See, knowing our value and identity based upon God's evaluation should free us from performing to gain value and sustain our value. Okay? I'm going to say that again, because knowing our value and our identity based on God's evaluation should free us from performing to gain our value and sustain value. See, one of the big challenges that we have as Christians is that that as we go on in our Christian life, we can try and establish our place with the Lord on the basis of our own works. Okay? As we go, you know, we're not doing too badly. You know, and somehow, when we do fall, we can sometimes feel we have to maybe spend a bit of time, you know, maybe praying a bit, reading the Bible a bit, just to get ourselves back on course. But Paul is saying, no, it's never going to be what you and I can do. It's only about the grace that is available to us. Okay? And so that's a very important thing that we need to look. It's because we start from masterpiece. If we fall, we're still his masterpiece. He still has made us important. He's made us of value. And also, as you grow as a church, you know, as more people, maybe more gifted people come in, you with more experience, there's a temptation to see ourselves, well, I'm just two. I'm number two. You know, I used to be, you know, I'm two of 250. And we can begin to take the foot off the accelerator. We can be happy just to be in the church. Or the other thing is that, or we can find other people a threat to us if we're not secure in our identity and who we are. You know, someone comes in and they are more gifted, and you know, you're number 17. You've been here for 2 or 3 years. Somebody comes in, been only here 6 months, 7 months, and the leaders feel that because of their gifting and their ability, you know, that they have responsibility for an area. And we can feel a little bit, whoa, hey, but I've been here longer. Now, I know this won't happen with you, but it does, doesn't it? And I feel to say to you this morning, you are God's masterpiece. That's the first thing. See, the second thing, when things get tough in our Christian walk, when things don't work out as we thought they should do, or others let us down, or made promises that are not kept, we have an anchor that's based upon God, on God, what God says we are. You know, we've been Christians for a long time. We've been in different church situations. And church can be the most glorious place to be part of, or it can be the most painful, one of the most painful places to be in as you work out relationships, as other people get in and the dynamics begin to change. And therefore, we need to sustain ourselves with knowing our value, your value. Not because it's written, but because it's deep in within my spirit, within our hearts. Because we have a tendency, don't we, to measure ourselves by what we do. I only work with children, or I just do the tea and coffee, you know. That may be the way we serve, but it's not a statement of your worth or value. You're God's masterpieces. Will you just turn to the next person and say, you're God's masterpiece. You know, confess it. Okay, you're God's masterpiece. Because one of the battles we face is between truth and lies. See, one of the key things that the enemy would seek to do for each of us is to undermine our value of what God says we are. That was the first challenge of Adam, wasn't it? Did Satan said to Adam, did God say? You know, implying, well, it's quite like that. You know, you've got to do it by, if you do. And that's the same tactic the enemy will use between us and in our own hearts. Did God say? And I'm laboring this because I just feel it's so important for, just I want to just prophesy that, if you like, into your own hearts this morning. Now, there is the second part of that verse, but I want to go on to just the second verse. And then we'll come back to the second part of that verse, because it's out of who we are that we should function. It's out of knowing who we are, not to function to gain that approval. All right. So the second verse is, if we could have that up, I think it's there. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making his appeal through us, and we beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. That's 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. It's in that passage where it says, you are a new creation. You know that passage? Again, a familiar passage. So that's the context. You're a new creation. And it talks about how that we've received reconciliation. We've been reconciled to God. You've got to have one of those big words in there, haven't you, when you minister. So the big word this morning is reconciliation, okay? Makes it more authentic a message, I feel, if you have a big word in there. But you know, I did it. Let me back up. Ambassador. The definition I found for an ambassador is a diplomatic official of the highest rank appointed and accredited as representative in residence by one government to another. Hello? Isn't that wow? Isn't that great? Let me read that again. A diplomatic official of the highest rank appointed and accredited as representative in residence by one government to another. You represent, because of who you are in Jesus, you represent His government here on the earth. You are a carrier of that government. Do you know, in Isaiah it talks about, doesn't it, that the government shall be upon His shoulders. We're the body, He's the head. This is a tricky question. Where's the shoulders? It's on the body. We carry the authority of Jesus on the earth because of who we are. We are ambassadors for Him. We're representative of God's kingdom or kingdom of heaven on the earth. So where you live, where you work, you are an ambassador. You are representing that kingdom here on the earth. And our presence is meant to change the atmosphere, to change how that things go on because of who we are from, because we live from the inside out. If we're living and knowing that we're His masterpiece, we're knowing His ambassadors, we will live differently every day. We had the joy yesterday, because once a month we go out on the streets. Have you heard of treasure hunting? You may have heard of treasure hunting. Well, I'll come back to that in a minute. But anyway, we took a few folks out on the streets yesterday, and we met a guy called Big Dave. Okay? I'll tell you the full story in a minute, but Big Dave, I got to manage to pray for Big Dave. He lives on a boat on the canals in Milton Keynes. Lovely character, lovely guy. Managed to get to pray with him. And he said, I said, can I just touch you, Big Dave? Can I just put my hand on you? Because I just wanted to bless him. In fact, I prayed for a wife for him, actually, there in the street. That's what he wanted. So we prayed for that. And he said after me, cool. He said, your hands were hot. And I said to him, you know, Dave, hot is good. Hot is good. That's God beginning to touch you. You know, we are meant to make a difference. And that's all of us. That's not just me, but that's all of us. Because it's out of this that flows our effectiveness. And I love this last bit where it says that God is making His appeal through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And I looked up the word reconcile in the dictionary. You know what it means? It means to reestablish friendship. And I thought that was delightful. Because it says there in that passage, we have been called to be ministers of reconciliation. And basically what we're called to do is reestablish people in their friendship with God. For me, that helps. It blows away this. Sometimes we get bogged down as Christians, don't we, about doing witnessing. You know, I've got to tell my people, you know, some of the folks I work with about Jesus and get everything in I possibly can. Maybe you haven't fallen into that trap. Praise God if you haven't. But it can be a bit of pressure. But to know that you and I have been called to be reconcilers to God, that God is making His appeal. That appeal of, it just shows God's heart towards people. And the other word for appeal, or appeal means an earnest or urgent request, or this is the challenging thing, it means the power of attracting or arousing interest. And that's a challenge, isn't it? That we, as ambassadors, as those who are His masterpiece, are we arousing interest? Are we those that are attractive in what we do? You know, it can start very small. The smile in the checkout. One of the things that really gets me is people who I let out. You know, when you're going in a line of traffic, and this is what I'm working on with the Lord, you know, and you let them in, and they don't acknowledge you. Boy, that really winds me up. And I've really got, you know, thank you. You know, I usually wave to them. I can't say it's in a good spirit, but I'm saying I'm working on that. You know, I don't know if you have that. You know, there's always something, isn't it, that people do. Or people on the motorway, always in the middle lane. That's another one. Now, I think there are ways that help us as Christians to really receive His grace in time of need. I'm just working on that one. You know, we have a tendency, someone said, we have a tendency to give the recipe before people have a chance to taste the cake. You know, do you know what I mean by that? We got to pile out, you know, what it is to become a Christian. When in fact people need, like Big Dave, just to have a touch from God begins to shift their perception and shift what they think and feel. Because, hey, they've experienced something. And we're meant to be those that carry that with others. Okay, just going to come back to that. And I'm just going to give you just a couple of, like, some stories of... Because we're going to come back to that second verse where it says, we are a God's masterpiece to do the good things He planned for us to do. Taking paths ahead of time that we should walk in them. God has good things for you and I to walk in. But you know, we can miss those things. The reason we met Big Dave yesterday, and we could have missed Big Dave, because we did some treasure hunting, and this is my treasure map. Okay, this is my little treasure map. And on the treasure map, we had red stripy shirt. This is what the Holy Spirit, we put down. And there were two people. We chased after one, well, not chased after one lady. We followed one lady and managed to pluck up the courage to sort of say, we think you're on our treasure map. Because you've got a red stripy shirt, and well, certainly your name wasn't Kevin or Mac, but it could have been Jane or Jill or Julie. Anybody here called Jane or Jill this morning, or Kevin? Anybody Kevin? Okay, maybe we'll go for some others. But stripy shirt. So she ran off. Then I found this other guy. He'd gone into another shop, and we were hanging around, and as you do, looking sort of nonchalant and cool and scared. But anyway, this person, and I said to him, excuse me, I think you're on my treasure map. Look, you're the red stripy shirt. And I said, are you Kevin or Mac? You know, have you got a knee injury, limited movement, ankle damage? And he goes, no. Oh, okay. So he'd gone off. Anyway, there's only four of us. Linda sort of heard this voice, because we're just outside one of these little porticos of a church, and the voice was, oh, cool. He said, as this guy passed him, he said, you should have asked for a car, was this voice. He said, I'm going to off and get a stripy red shirt, and I'm going to ask for a car. This was Big Dave. So anyway, we just popped in and said to him, hi. We didn't know he was Big Dave then, because we just met him. So we went around and said, you want a new car? So we approached it. And that's how the conversation opened. And that's how I got to pray with him. But, you know, I could have missed that. You know, that was something God had prepared. He wasn't on my list. He wasn't on my map. But he was on God's map. And I just want to encourage you, there are people that you can connect with every day that you can be a blessing to. And I want to just throw that out to you. The reason why, just to let you know, the reason why he's called Big Dave, he's 6'5". Okay, big guy. And we, in the end, managed to just invite him to Alpha. He was touched. Oh yeah, I might come to Alpha. We told him there was obviously free food. That was an incentive for him living on his own. See, the other month we had on our treasure maps, we had someone with pink shoes. We had pink shoes, just pink shoes on the thing. So off we went to an area and hanging around as you do, and across the car park, you know, these Crocs came. There's a lady wearing them, obviously. But came these bright pink Crocs coming across the carpet. Not only that, she had matching pink lipstick. Okay. I think that's probably one of the contacts on our list. And we had the joy of just, is there anything here on our map that we can, you know, because God wants to bless you. He wants, you know, he wants to show something good to you. Is there something we can do? And it turned out she'd had pain from childbirth. She'd always had pain. And so it was on our list. And we had the joy of just praying for her. I can't say anything particular happened at the moment, but we just did good. Because that's what Jesus did, didn't he? He said, Jesus went about doing good and healing. And that biblically, that's how we overcome evil. It isn't getting rid of darkness. It isn't getting rid of light. It's coming in the opposite spirit, because it said, we overcome evil by doing good. You know, Jesus said, just a cup of cold water will do that. We managed to find our way to Dunstable Downs the other week. And have you been to Dunstable Downs? Fantastic up there. You know, obviously I went and we sat down at this table, this lady there, and just going to get my wife a cup of tea, as we do men, don't we? And queued up. But as we went, this other lady, I said, can we get you would you like a cup of tea? And while I was gone, she just poured out that she's a lady who just recently lost her husband, and she just didn't like being on her own. And so she came up with all the crowds. All it was, and we were able to give her just a cup of tea. I kicked myself afterwards. There's some questions I'd like to have said. You know, do you have you all these with conversations. But hey, it was a start of blessing. We got a friend of mine. This is a great story. Friend John, he works as an electrician, and he goes into places, and he met a guy called David Wigglesworth. And so John said, as you do, does the name Smith Wigglesworth mean anything to you? Well, it turns out that he is something like a long-lost cousin or cousin, second or third generation down. And he remembers Smith Wigglesworth, and he was told as a lad not to go around that house because he's in his 70s, he's not to go around that house because they speak in tongues. But he said, I wish I'd gone around there. So John, bless him, has been able to give him a life story of his great-uncle. You know, the Bible just talks about it, doesn't it? About he visits the blessing on the third and fourth, or his blessing of the Lord is to 1,000 generations. Isn't that amazing? God had set that up for this guy, David Wigglesworth, for my friend John to be part of the blessing of Smith Wigglesworth's generation upon his generations. Isn't that wild? I just think that is crazy. But isn't that exciting? His wife, Sheila, she works in the hospital, and a little while ago, she works in the antenatal or in a little unit anyway, and she'd gone. She's Scottish, so there was a concert, a pipe band concert, in Stony Stratford. You know, I thought, boy, wonderful. That sounds really exciting. Anyway, they're close friends, and she. And she went and got these tickets. And do you know, as she got to this door, turned out to be a lady that she'd seen that morning in the hospital. This lady had been to the hospital because her husband had died. And Sheila was able just, asked her if she had a faith. Can we just pray for you? And she had the joy of just praying for this lady. These are the works that God has planned beforehand. But if we are unclear about who we are, we'll find those things more difficult. Because we'll do them because we have to. We do them because, well, we're part of church. We want to see the church grow. I want to do my bit. But we need to flow out of who we are, of God's masterpiece. One final story, and I just want to pray for you. We were on holiday. Anyone know Crickyth? Crickyth, lovely little town in Wales. Beautiful. We had borrowed some friend's cottage, and and as we were in this village, we noticed that an Indian, what do they call it? Restaurant had just opened up. Yeah, sorry. I love Indian food, and the smells coming from this place were just incredible. So we had to go in, didn't we? At the end of the week. You do, don't you? You just have to go into these places. Try them out, you know. And we got chatting with one of the owners of this place. And he had a plaster on his arm. And it turned out that he'd been doing some of the work high up, and he fell off, and he'd broken his arm in a couple of places. And so before I knew what I was doing, I grabbed his arm. Fortunately, he had a plaster on it. So, and I said, "Can I just pray for you?" It turned out to be Ali. So I prayed for Ali because he was going today. And then, you know, obviously we were tucked away in a corner. It wasn't somewhere that was going to embarrass him or me. But I had the joy of just praying for you. So if you're ever in Crickieth and this little Indian restaurant, ask how Ali's arm is, okay? I just wanted to tell you those stories because I'm enjoying this journey of living out of being who we are, because it's thrilling to see what God will begin to open up. Okay, and like Moses, you remember Moses in the desert? You know, I always look at that intrigue. He'd been 40 years, you know, looking after sheep in the desert, and he got curious one day because he saw this bush burning. And that was not an unusual thing for bushes, as you know, to automatically combust in the desert. But the amazing thing about this bush, as we know, was it wasn't burning, in the sense it wasn't burning away. It was still a bush. And it said, Moses went aside. His life changed over the next 40 years. As we know, his life changed because God spoke to him. And just like with Big Dave, just responding to just that little wisecrack gave me the opportunity of praying for Big Dave. And I guess my encouragement today for you is look out for those opportunities that God set out for you. Look out for those things that this week, that you can walk in this week, because you are his ambassador. You are his work of art. Okay. Can we just have the last slide? I love this slide. This is really cool. Okay. Isn't that picture is exciting? It's scary. It's exhilarating, isn't it? It's got it all there, doesn't it? You think, will he land in the water? Or will he just be able to stop there? And that's what it is about. But isn't the Christian life meant to be an adventure? You're on an adventure, planting a church out in Aylesbury. And I just want to encourage you that this week, what has God got planned for you this week that you can do good in some way? Because, as I said, we're his masterpiece. And his ambassador. Now, before I go, I just wanted to, can I read some of these things off my card? Because can I put my card down somewhere? Sorry, here we are. Did I give you the card, darling? No, okay. That's what we men do, don't we? It's, you know, where's my shirts? They're in the wardrobe. No, can't see them. It's a man thing, okay, ladies, just in case you're worrying. Okay, anyone got a knee injury? Oh, limited movement in your elbow? These didn't come up yesterday, so I'm thinking, well, I'll give it a go today. Okay. Ankle damage? Anyone working with an ankle damage? No. Carpal tunnel, you know, some limited movement in your fingers. No, I won't pray for you to have those, but I'm just saying if you had them. And finally, one of the things that Word and Logic God gave me some weeks ago that I'm still working from is sometimes we, as, like for example, let me back up. Let me try and explain this. We tolerate pain, right? As Christians, we can sometimes tolerate pain. And that which we tolerate dominates us. And sometimes we don't feel we can ask for prayer. You know, for example, you know, we may have injured ourselves as a child. You know, Dad said, if you walk on that wall and you break your legs, don't come running to me. You know, that kind of thing. You know, you've done something as a child, you've fallen off your skateboard, or you did something crazy in your bike, and we live with that kind of pain. Is anybody here like that this morning? You've hurt yourself as a... you've done something silly, and you don't feel you can come to God on that because it was your stupidity has done it. And so therefore, you feel you need to live with that. Because God said, I need to pray for at least 10 people. Not here. I've already prayed with 5, so I've got 5 to go. So I thought, well, we'll throw this one in as well. Okay, is that all right? Okay. Can I just pray for you, and then we'll... is that okay? And then I'll hand back to Jonathan. Can you just put your hand on your heart? Can you just do that? Father, I just thank you that each one of us here is your masterpiece. We're not a print. We're not just one of 200 or one of 20, but we're being called by you. We're individually called by you, made by you. But also you've prepared for us things to walk in to do good. Also, we're your ambassadors. I want to pray, Father, that this would touch the hearts again. In this season of, as they seek to grow as a church, I just pray that they would enjoy the journey and enjoy the adventure of being those that do good. That there will be lots of people on the edge of things because these folks here have done good. And I pray that this week, Lord, that you would surprise them by sending situations that they can somehow